Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
This is View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Tuesday, the 21st of March, 2023. My name is Patrick Smith. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. You can also download us, as always, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the usual sort of Google Podcasts, all that sort of stuff. You can ask your device to play a View from the Bridge podcast, and it'll do it for you as well. On this week's show, a fraught weekend for the Belfast Giants. They took three out of 4 points against the Cardiff Devils. With two weekends and four games left to play, they're still 4 points ahead of the Guildford Flames. But the title race is far from over just yet, no matter what anybody else says. We'll get to those games very shortly. Mark Cooper's our guest. He'll be with us on the fan. A little bit of news to discuss. Simon's popped down to training for a chat with a few of the lads. And Sheffield visit on Friday, Manchester on Sunday, and it's the latter's head coach, Matt Ginn, who will join us
Manchester
later.
Manchester Saturday.
Manchester, did I say Matt? What did I say?
Sunday.
Did I? Sorry.
Everybody's been saying it all week in the office. It's definitely Saturday.
Sheffield on Friday. I've even written Saturday on the agenda. Manchester on Saturday. And it's the latter's head coach, Matt Ginn, going to be joining us for a chat later in the show. Mr. McGimsey, how's it going?
I've got to be honest, Paddy, it's been better.
Give people a bit of a laugh,
as of course, as Neely Coach Russell would tell you, I always have cat trouble, but tonight the cats have peed on the football kit, poked on the floor, and brought a mouse in, and it looks like there's been a knife fight in the kitchen. So once the podcast's over, I've got a wee bit of cleaning up to do.
It sounds like this has happened before. The cats brought something in before you had to clean up after the podcast.
Five cats in the house, so you gotta.
Always
clean up after one of them.
Says, how you doing?
I'm a lot better than David is. It sounds like he needs a gin. Take a gin, mate, you'll be all right.
I'm on the Whitney tonight.
Oh, yes. Very nice indeed. Right, before we get cracking into this, and it's something we'll discuss more next week, but voting has opened for the 2023 Kingdom of the Giants MVP. Drop us an email, mvp@kingdomofthegiants.com. and put the who you believe should be the MVP for this season in the subject header, or just put it in the email generally, and we'll be totting all of those up. I will say there is a standout leader already. We've had about 40 or 50 votes, and I think a standout leader so far, but get those emails coming in MVP at kingdomofthegiants.com, and we'll come back to this next week. The Belfast Giants took on the Cardiff Devils in two games at the SSE Arena on Saturday. mixed fortunes with 3 points for the Belfast Giants. Let's start with Saturday's game. It was 3-1 for the Giants. The Giants' three goals come from Conway, Cooper, and Conway again. Cole Sanford with the only goal for the Cardiff Devils. Tyler Beskarwani, 22 shots on, one goal against the other side. Ben Bounds, 34 shots on, three goals against. Your referees, as they were for the entire weekend, Chris Wells and Stefan Hogarth. Davey, I felt that, you know, there was a lot of nerves personally. There were a lot of nerves going this weekend. There were a lot of nerves going into this game, given, you know, how we are set up in the league. In this first game, especially when that first goal goes in from Scott Conway, the nerves start to settle.
Absolutely. It's, you know, he's been accused of being a bit of a flat track bully scoring against the wee teams like Cardiff. So, you know, it was good to see him getting another couple of goals, but unbelievable to get his 51st goals of the season on the weekend there. Well, on Saturday night, actually, go on the Sunday again.
Remarkable.
But his numbers have been unbelievable. And, you know, he finds that little bit of space on this first goal. He actually, I don't know when, if you can see it from the overhead replay that'll come up later on the first goal. He's right in the blue paint, and whenever Steve Ory gets the puck, he just reverses, and he's done it so many times this season, he just reverses into space where the D-men don't pick him up. The rebound goes up the half, well, it falls to Steve Ory there, and there's, you see that, just that two or three steps, it's not even a skate back, it's two or three steps, gets himself space, slams it through the five hole to put us off there, really great start, and then obviously it's either the next shift or the shift after that, we'll come to Simon in about 30 seconds or something between the goals, we'll come down and score the second one, and all of a sudden we've tilted the ice, and we'll come out of that really, really strong first period, and a bit like what happened to Cardiff, or what happened to ourselves on Sunday night, kind of dug themselves too big a hole to come back. You know, the Belfast Giants had a grip of the game, almost happened on Sunday night, bar we were able to get back into the game, take it to overtime, get the extra point. Real strong performance. I you know, cometh the hour, cometh the man. We've talked about this a whole lot of times during the season, Simon. We talk about it before games and big games. Scott Conway comes to play every game, but especially in, you know, your big players have to come and be your big players in the big games and the biggest games of the season. Conway stands tall. Mark Cooper is the same. Coops is that guy you depend on for a big goal at a crucial time, and he's done it. I think that was two game-winning goals in a row for Coops. Strong in the face-offs. You know, we talk about possession being 9/10 of law. When you've got the puck, you can do things with the puck. When you're chasing the puck, it's tiring. And went on to Sunday and will come on to Sunday and obviously going down bodies and making it much harder. But I thought a really strong performance. Once we got into that strong lead, we were able to manage ice time. We were able to manage the ice in terms of where we allowed them possession and where we sort of took control of the neutral zone, if you like. I thought really, really well. Made it hard for them to get into our zone. Besko again for me. Really, really strong performance on Saturday night, and I think we were really, really well worth our 2 points.
I think, you know, defensively, I thought we were pretty much rock solid. But there was a bit of an error, obviously, leading to their goals, but once again, defensively, we were looking good.
Yeah, I thought it was a solid performance on Saturday. You've got Davies more or less nailed the whole thing there, to be honest. It's, you know, Cardiff, we talk about Cardiff being in fourth place. It doesn't matter if they're in fourth place or not. It's really weird, but it's like a bit of a derby. It's one of those games where, and when the doubleheader we've had for the last 5, 6, 7 years against Cardiff, that you sort of look in your diary and go, right, okay, you know it's around February, March time, and those it doesn't matter what position either team's in, it's going to be two big games. So, you know, for us to come out on the Saturday and get the win was really, really important, especially, you know, after two strong games the previous weekend against Sheffield and Manchester away. And I thought we'd actually controlled the whole game. And, you know, you talk about the nervousness. I really wasn't nervous about Saturday at all.
No,
I really wasn't. I thought I'd seen the boys out in first skate on Saturday morning. I seen the coming in for the game on Saturday afternoon. All looked very relaxed. All looked ready to go. And as the game did go on, I actually thought we looked tired, you know, in the third period especially. But to come out with the three goals to get the lead, and then everybody was disappointed with giving up their goal. Everyone was. You know, and it sort of gives them a bit of momentum leading into Sunday, because when you break everything down, we won the first, we won the second period, they won the third, and that really gave them a big kick for the Sunday game. And I think, again, even when you're watching that game, the Devils, that first line of the Devils is really, really good. I mean, Sanford, Cox, and Martin, I think it's something like 180 points this season between them. They've got they've got stronger as the season's gone on. I just thought that, especially the kid Cox and Sanford, the two of them are just really, really good. And they know each other's game, very similar to Scott Conway and David Goodwin. You know, they just command that little bit more respect than maybe you're looking at in the second and third lines. But overall, again, I thought we really, even though the scoreline was only 3-1, I thought we deserved to win. I thought we controlled the majority of the game. And as I say, to come out with the 2 points on the Saturday evening was really, really important.
I was just laughing there, Simon, when you were saying about Sanford, Martin, Cox, and I've got it written down in my notes and on the top line of my notes, you know, about how well them three play together. But I also like the speed of Petroniero, you call him?
Petroniero. I murdered that name on Saturday night.
I've just murdered it there tonight. Waller, Sanford, the three of them come with real speed. And we've talked over a number of years, the Steve Thornton era, if you like, in Belfast, speed kills. He tries to recruit fast, along with Adam Keefe, fast players. And obviously then at the back end, you've got, you know, Mark Richardson's a Rolls Royce back there now. Like, isn't he? There was one play, I think you noted in the commentary, where he gets one-on-one against Matt McLeod, who has been burning D-men off, but he just uses his body and he sees the ice so well, and he makes it too far for McLeod to go and get the puck. But
what he did, David, sorry for interrupting. See, when you watch that play with Richardson and McLeod, he's actually telling McLeod where to go to, and McLeod went. Yeah. You know, if basically McLeod, if you watched it, I think it was maybe two or three times before he actually, that I'm pretty sure it might have been the first period on Saturday. Actually, it might have been the third, but you sort of see Richie, you know, pointing. He sort of points out to his right-hand side as if to go, right, you have to go that way. And McLeod just went, okay. And he tried to go around the outside. And then Richardson just basically rotated his body, gently moved towards the wall. He didn't even hit him. Just moved towards the wall and took. He couldn't get through. I think Richardson's one of the best defensemen this elite league has seen on a consistent basis over the last 10 years. If not the best, I really rate him that highly. And he's 35, 36 now. He's probably got a couple more years left in him. I think he's absolute quality.
Well, it's no surprise, like he was mentioned last week by Neil Francis, and says, and the amount of effort that he puts into his body and making sure that he's available to play and what he's able to do. A lot of these lads, the British lads especially, who have put so much effort into do it, you know, it's no surprise that he's had that longevity within the elite league.
Not at all. I mean, even more so on Sunday, and we'll go on to talk about it in just a second. There was a couple of times where he came up with two or three big blocks. I mean, just getting in the lane and not letting the puck get through the bounds. He did so well, and there was one in particular in the second period that if you watch it again, it really hurts him. I mean, it really hurts him. But he just gets up, skates off the ice, and, you know, basically refocus himself to come back on again. I actually think John Donovan, who's joined me on Sunday, pointed it out as well. He's just absolute quality. And the Devils, I mean, I don't want to say to build a team around him, but, you know, for the amount of time that he spends on the ice, I mean, I don't know what many minutes he had on Saturday. I can't remember. But, I mean, it was down. They played 4D for the last period on Sunday. Batch and Petroniero very seldom got a look in, but he really stood out. I mean, that kid, Petroniero as well, and again, I apologise for murdering his name on Saturday. I thought it was a bit better on Sunday, but Saturday was getting chirped by a couple of Devils fans, sort of standard, but you could own it. He absolutely nailed Grant Cooper twice in the first period. Actually, it was in the same shift. He nailed him, and I mean, it hurt Coops. It genuinely did hurt G. But, you know, again, luckily went on and managed to pick up the 2 points, which was huge.
Yeah, Richardson sort of 23, 24 minutes both nights, you know, so a lot of ice time there eating up. I've just paused this here, Simon. I've actually got two questions for you, but first one, I've paused just here as Collins is scoring the third goal here about his footwork. There's a goal, I think it's actually, it's a goal on Sunday night. Is it the one where... McLeod comes down the right wing and plays a bit of pitch and toss with Donny Niles, who takes it in his skates and then just drops the pass. The boys playing two touch. This translates onto the ice. All that little two touch and all before the game, we'll talk about it all the time. But just the footwork from Conway here to get this puck from out of his feet on the stick and over Bounds' gloves in a flash. Like, I'm going to press play here and let it roll. But the speed at which he can get that puck on the stick with the two little touches and bang, and it's gone. And Bounds hasn't even got the glove up. It's in the back of net. So, you know, really nice quick release from Conway. But you were talking earlier in the piece there, says about we look tired come the third period. You know, like the Devils started pouring it on in the third, and they did take that momentum into Sunday for sure, because they came out fine on Sunday. We have played a lot of hockey. A lot of teams have. Let's be honest. We've played a lot of hockey since the 1st of December. December was a cram month. January was a cram month. We had the Challenge Cup final. All the sort of emotions and all that bring. How much of the tiredness, apart from being beat up bodies, because we talked the other day about being 60-something games into the season now, how much of it's mental as well, just as in you've just been on it now for 6 months. It's, you're getting the dog days, as they were called last year. How, you know, it must be tiring for the boys.
I actually said this to Mark Garside today, and it's in an interview. So you can just listen. Gary's a lot more better positioned and suited than me to answer that question, but just listen to what he has to say about it. But I mean, when you look at the amount of games we've played, Cardiff have played probably something similar, because they played two rounds of the Continental Cup as well. So, you know, with this league being the way it is, and you know, starting in September, ending in April, where a lot of countries would go on to maybe the end of April, early May, we'll just have to suck it up and get on with it. Look, we can't complain about it. You know, it's been great for us this year. We've been through a really tough time, October, November time, injuries. I mean, sure, we talked about Ben Lake, you know, being the Iron Man of the team so far. He was the last man standing who played all games. And then he picked up an injury for Saturday and Sunday and obviously missed out. But just to
cut across you there, Simon, just to tell people that there's probably people that don't know the Iron Man sort of lingo, if you like. An Iron Man, somebody that plays every game of the season. And we've had guys, I was going to go away and see if we've ever had a season where we haven't had one. But this season, Ben Lake is the last player that had played every game until the weekend. So we have gone through, and people have mocked us for having whatever it was, 31, 32 players through the roster this season. We haven't been able to keep everybody on the ice every night. And that tells you about how hard this is, body, mind, and soul on players. Sorry, Sam.
No, it is. And I mean, this is a tough, tough sport. You know, don't get me wrong. There's other sports out there, other, you know, rugby and football and what have you. But a lot of the time, you know, even look at like some Manchester United, they're the top teams in Europe. They've got a lot of players that you can switch around. A lot of them don't. You know, they sort of play the same 15, 16 players every single week. And hockey for me is obviously with being the physicality and the speed of it. And you know, at this time of the year, it's literally about 25 minutes practice. Not much more than that. Maybe once a week you get 45 minutes practice if you get a chance to do that. But, you know, the boys were off yesterday. He brought them in today for a recovery day. So there was just, you know, they were using the sauna and the cold tub and a couple of men for a skate. And then tomorrow, everybody will be on the ice tomorrow. Everybody that's fit will be on the ice tomorrow. So it's literally just about resting up, recovering, getting ready for the next game. And, you know, the summer itself, they would rather make sure they get to the last game of the season, even though they're looking forward to their summer holidays, and some teams have already switched off. But where we are right now, they're, you know, we're concentrated on Friday, and the Sheffield Steelers coming in town.
We're chatting to Matt Ginn later. I think his team faced a team that had switched off just on Sunday, but we'll come to that later. Let's hear just the post-game comments from Saturday.
Yeah, I thought early on there in the first period, you know, they were coming at us pretty physical and hard, and you know, we threw some pucks away without looking, you know, but Besko was big and we got some stick on some pucks at key areas, and you kind of weathered that storm. But I thought the rest of that first period there, the second half, I thought we were pretty good, and then the rest of the game I thought we limited them pretty good through the neutral zone.
You know, we felt like in the first period, Belfast kind of came and took it to us. We dug a bit of a hole. Then we had a big pushback for a while. We felt like in the second, you know, there's a good 5 to 8 minute spell there where we felt like we took the game over. We just couldn't find the back of the net. It's frustrating. But, you know, the guys started competing a lot harder and winning races to pucks and playing more direct. And, you know, when we play that way, you could see how effective we are. It's just so hard to climb out of a hole when you dig a hole like that in Belfast. So obviously we got to make some adjustments and make sure that we're ready to go tomorrow.
Out of that, of course, from Giants TV. Let's move on to Sunday. Giants, the second game of this two against the Cardiff Devils, and this was a much more high-scoring affair. It was a 5-4 win for the Cardiff Devils. For the Giants, the goals came from Matt McLeod, Steve Arie, Mark Cooper, and Scott Conway. And for the Cardiff Devils, it was Sam Jardine, Josh Waller, Justin Crandall, Jake Cooler, and then the game-winning goal on the power play in overtime came from Cole Sanford. With regards to goalkeepers, Tyler Beskarwani, 22 shots on, one goal. That's not right. I've not got the stats. Didn't write them down properly. Sorry, everybody. Two referees, Chris Wells and Stefan Hogarth. Says I'll start with you on this. It's a slow start from the Belfast Giants, and I had a little bit of deja vu to the game against the Coventry Blaze just a Sunday past.
Yeah. We talked about what the Devils brought out of Saturday, getting that third period goal, and they brought it straight into Sunday. I thought they were really good on Sunday. I thought they started strong. Bounds come up with 3, 4, 5 really, really good saves early on. He looked as if he was properly up for it. And you know, we looked really tired on Sunday, on the first period. I mean, really tired. They got two goals up, and then we scored. Yeah, we scored to make it 2-1. They got the goal 30 seconds later and make it 3-1, or a minute later, sorry. They make it 3-1. But to come out of that first period 3-1 down is probably, we could have been, it could have been worse. It could have been 4 or 5 best. So they made a number of really good saves as well. But they come out of that with 3-1 down and gives you a chance to get back into it. Getting the big chance to make it 3-2 and scoring just before the end of the second period was huge. And to get back in there, I mean, the crowd was really into the game. I actually thought they were more into the game on Saturday than what they were on Sunday. Sorry, on Sunday more than they were on Saturday. And that's both sides. Obviously, the Devils got a bit of momentum with the, so many fans over from South Wales. And they got a real boost with those two goals going up on Sunday. But again, coming back into the game, we've got the opportunity and we've got the players to do that. The problem we had was on the back end, because losing Basti at the end of the first period and losing Josh Roach just into the second period is, I mean, they're two of the best defensemen in the league. Any team would meet there would miss them. So, and that really, it did stand out a bit for me. I thought we controlled a lot of the play in the second period. But this was a turning moment. Just watching it now, that disallowed goal, I don't want to dive too deep into it, because I'm sure, actually, you know what, Mike Davey might be better to look into it. But what Stefan Hogarth is thinking here, I have absolutely no idea.
If we just pause right there, I genuinely think Stefan Hogarth thinks the high sticks, there's two sticks up, Bast and I don't know who it is from the Devils going for the, but Bast stick is Jardine. Bast stick's obviously going up the ice. Jardine's going towards Besko, if you like. And the puck goes behind Besko. So it has to be played by the Cardiff Devils. I just don't know if Stefan Hogarth is thinking there, Bast played that. So I'm putting the high stick up. Cardiff, you can play it. And as soon as Cardiff go to play it, he washes it out. He gives a signal, play on, which is by the rule. If the other team that can get the puck, you wash it out. He's obviously gone and reviewed it. I think that the Elite League have put out a bit of a diktat this week to say you really shouldn't have been reviewing anything. Goals weren't reviewable.
There was something on the Elite League website today.
That can be my only take on it, can be that Stefan actually thought the Bast was the one that played it with a high stick. He's gone and had a look at it, and he's come up with the right decision. Actually, it's very, very hard to tell, and I've gone frame by frame on it, as you know it do, whether or not when Jardine plays it, if it actually comes off Besko's pads and goes, in which case I'm not sure whether if a goalie touches it.
Didn't hit Besko. I asked Besko, and it didn't touch him.
Did you? It was so hard to see because it comes down at an angle as if it's going into the net, and then it appears behind the net. But I'm like frame by frame, and it's very hard. It's all done in high speed. So to give, I know I'm a bit of a referee's guy, and they're part of the furniture, and we don't want to slag them off too much. He's got one look at that. Two sticks have gone up. He's made a decision. That's passed. And he's gone with his gut. He's gone with his decision. He's gone, pass play that right, card of play on. By the, you know, he's gone to the video and he's got it right on the video. So that's another tick in the box where we should actually have video where it's available. You
tick
know,
the what?
We want the right. If there's video available, use it and get the right decision.
Right. There were 6,250 fans in the building on Sunday. He's the only right. one. Add in the players and all the staff and stuff like that. He's the only one in the building that thought that Bast
Cardiff Devils players didn't.
No, Cardiff Devils players
played on.
Played to the whistle. Played to the whistle.
What were you taught on the first time you put skates and hockey gear on and football or whatever? You play to the referee's whistle.
Okay, but again, you play to the whistle with regards to, and you watched, I think it was Goody, and I can't remember who the RD man was on our side. They've got to get in front of that pass. That's the one thing we did wrong with that play.
Mm.
We stood still. Brody Reid just threw it out front. You know, and even if you watch the play, if you watch that play again, he looks around the referee as if to go, is that right? Sure? Is that okay?
Yeah.
And then starts celebrating. He knew that they basically should have made a goal. However, again, when you in the bigger context of the game itself, that's a massive moment. If they score that and that's allowed, that it's makes over. It 4-1. And that changes everything. But,
and then it goes on. Then we'll go on to the hit on Will Cullen, or the clipping that actually the goes against call. Will Cullen. That part, that penalty kill, spurred a bit of a comeback from us.
It did, and again, it's, you know, if Will Cullen, I think I said this to Chris Wells after the game. I understand why Will's trying to duck out of the way. I get it.
Yep.
Penny is flying. I mean, he's skating hard from the blue line. And if he hits Cully, who is already 3 or 4 feet out from the wall,
he's getting
carried off the ice. He's getting carried off the ice in a stretcher, potentially. And nothing to do with the way Penny comes in and play the body. I have no problem with that at all.
I think Cully's charging, to be honest.
I wouldn't disagree with that part, but I've no problem with him. You know, chase them down to basically make the hit. But if you watch Cully puts his head first into that. I'm surprised he didn't take a knee off Penny. And again, I'm not saying that was Penny, you know, aiming his knee at his head. Absolutely not. But, you know, the whole play itself, I think the referee made the right call on it. I think it was a 2-minute minor for clipping or whatever the call was.
Yeah, it's to the letter, to the rule book. It's classic clipping. You can't go down. You're not allowed to be allowed to hit like that.
I have no problem
with it.
I understand it's your instinct to get out of the way. But for me, it's a penalty, and killing that penalty off was massive. And I mean, absolutely massive. You seen when he came out of the penalty box? I don't think you've seen too much on the cameras, but everybody in the arena, as soon as Cully came out of the penalty box, just before that, Riley Brandt jumps on the ice and he goes straight at him.
Yep.
Tries to get a hold of him. Cully's going straight to the bench and then ends up just sort of reversing back and getting into the play. Adam was looking a penalty off it because, you know, he grabs hold of him. Technically, it's interference. No call on the play. Play continued. We ended up getting two goals back and didn't make it 3-3. But overall, as I say, to get it back to 3-3 at the end of the second period, and I don't want to go on, but I want to give you a bit of glory, Divi, for the third period. But, you know, to get 3-3 at the end of the second period, I thought we did really, really well.
Well, that's it, isn't it, Davey? You know, to get into that position and giving ourselves a chance from the position that we were in, going into the third and then subsequently into overtime and getting that one point, huge when it comes to what the Giants were trying to achieve. Given, and we'll have the interviews later on with the lads down at training, but the hole that we were in.
Like, talk about character, and you talk about all different things. And before the weekend, would you have taken 2 points? Would you have taken a 2-point split? At this stage of the season, probably after you win the first game, do you want to get the second game? Yes. Would you have taken a point out of it? Yes. And I think that from the position we're in at the end of the first period to come out of with the adversity that we've gone up against there, you don't need to round the players off again that are missing. You know them only too well. And, you know, that second line's been decimated recently. We're decimated in the back end. Cully sitting at penalty. Bathy's out of the game, Roachie's out of the game. You know, Mark Garside's playing three times a minute. He's been playing lately. Kieran Long's gone back on D. We've had big performances from guys, but it caught up in the third period. And even though we had that real strong pushback to bring it to 4-each, you know, they just kept ahead of us. And you obviously have the big call in overtime. As I said here, actually, if we probably paused it just one second before that, at the red line or at the blue line, me and Simon talked about it the other day, we'd probably give Waller a lane to skate into there. That if we analyze that play again and again, we probably step across and make him shoot early, make him take it into a corner, whatever, make him drop past that. Because the other two guys aren't really that dangerous at this stage. They're both in the neutral zone. One's in the point there. He doesn't have a pass on to him. And we'll let him get in on Besko. We'll let him get into that. And as Simon, I think, said on commentary, we'll give the referee a decision to make. Now, I don't personally think it's a penalty. I think Besko clearly plays the puck, wins the puck. The puck goes 90 degrees right into the corner. Waller actually takes Besko's stick out of his hand. I don't think it's tripping, but the trip's called and you play the cards you're dealt. And unfortunately, you know, they come up with the extra man winner. You know, I think the winner right of this weekend with 3 points to two is the Belfast Giants. It's unfortunate we couldn't close the game out and get the extra point. Maybe even, look, we talked about, go right back to the start of the game and you look at the stats that we've got, shots on, shots off, blocks, hits, XGs. Ben Bounds won the Cardiff Devils the games. He stole the game for them. Sometimes you need your goaltender to steal games. Besko has stole us games over this last 12, 13, 14 games that he's been in nets. Sometimes you get a goalie that's very hard to beat. We managed to solve that riddle 4 times, but unfortunately for us, just attrition. Tiredness came into that. Mental tiredness and physical tiredness just came into that. We're 65 minutes into our second game, 125 minutes into, you know, in less than 24 hours. So you can forgive guys for being tired. And unfortunately, the Cardiff Devils just had that wee more juice in the tank and were able to come up with that extra point. But I'm hoping we're looking back in two weeks from now saying what an important point that was.
And then here's the moment that this spurred a dozen memes over the last couple of days. Adam Keefe obviously disappointed or angry, disappointed, I'm going to say, with what happened and how that penalty was handed. And you also had the Cardiff Devils throwing it about a bit, says a bit of S-housery, you know, the blowing kisses to the crowd and, you know, acting as the pantomime villain. But, you know, that's the game. You know, they've come into the home of the team who are leading the league. They've taken a point off us, and as you can see, anybody watching on YouTube, you know, they riled up the Giants a bit, and you can take that two ways. You can take that as Cardiff just doing a bit, but this will also throw a bit of determination into the Belfast Giants.
Yeah, look, I mean, I was speaking to Longer about this. I didn't realize what was happening, because at that time of the game, I'm sort of writing down a few notes and stuff, but he said that there was a couple of their players standing on the red line. And he's telling them, get out of the way, and let's just start rank, just get their man of the match award and get off the ice and do your lap. That's fine.
I'm sure that's what he said.
I'm sure the other words.
I have no problem with that at all. Like, that's, you know, that is what it is. Just, and I've done it myself. Like, just, you know, get under people's skin, even after the game. It's a big win for them. You know, fourth place is important. So, well, the lemon is anyway, but there's a lot of fans over. I thought they deserved winning Sunday, if I'm honest. I thought they played really, really well. That overtime goal was just an absolute gem. I agree with Davey. My first instinct, however, and again, I get that Stefan O'Garth only gets the one look at it. My first instinct was I thought it was a penalty. But then Davey explained the rule to me, that I knew that Besko got the puck. But I didn't realize if he gets the puck, and even after that, if he falls over a stick, it's not a penalty. I didn't realize that. So for in those instances, then it shouldn't have been called. But look, again, getting the point and the ticket to overtime is huge. That could be the deciding point in 2 weeks' time.
I'm going to move it on here, gents, because we have guests waiting in the wings. But, you know, what I will also say is hold that question on that penalty against Tyler Bescarani, because we do have a goalkeeper coming on to chat to us, and it'd be interesting to get his take on what happened. Maybe we'll pull it up again. But the highlights in that game, of course, come from our good friends at Giants TV. Mr. Kitchen was joined for that game by John Donovan, and he got a bit of, I liked your bit of, to him, David. He said he got a bit emotional at the end. I was like you at that point. it was off.
To be honest, like I talked about last week about getting John on the podcast because he's really strong on his hockey knowledge. But like it was actually quite an interesting access to have a home and away commentator. Simon definitely neutered himself a little bit. He was much better behaved on Sunday than he was on Saturday. Maybe tired, I don't know. But
because we're getting beat.
Might have been. But it was definitely interesting to have the two different takes from the two different clubs at the same time.
And I enjoyed having John beside me, to be honest. I mean, he's always good. He's clever. And he knows what he's talking about. And he switched on. And I was speaking to Todd before the game. And John's going, actually, I don't know if I can say it or not, but I'll tell you anyway. John's going to work for the Devils come April. So he's going to be a commercial manager, which is, I mean, that's perfect for him. So to get him in there and do what he's doing. So it's, it was a big, bottom line, that point could really come back to really help us. However, I want to point out, chasing the puck, their meme, for Kiefer banging that We Will Rock You was absolutely outstanding. I showed it to him this morning.
Perfect.
I showed it to Kiefer this morning, showed it to Thords, and the two of them were pissing themselves. It was absolutely hilarious.
It was absolutely fantastic. Right, let's move it along, gents, because we're running a bit behind. I know we've got guys waiting in the wings to have a chat with us, and we'll start off with the fan agenda brought to you by our good friends at Belfast Giants TV. And this man is a very popular one, not just the lads on the ice, but amongst all the fans off the ice. Please welcome back to your view from the bridge, Mark Cooper. How are you doing, Coops?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me again.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for joining us. First of all, give us your take on the weekend just gone by.
Yeah, I thought two pretty good games. Cardiff came in here as a desperate group. I thought Friday we played really well, and then Saturday and then Sunday they kind of took it to us early, but we battled back through losing bodies throughout that game, and I'm sure that one was really exciting for the fans. It was exciting to play, and those are the games you love to play in, and I think getting that one point will be huge, like you guys were talking about earlier.
We've had issues on Sunday nights and where we've put ourselves in, as you know, some COVID has put ourselves in a hole that we've had to try to get out of. Why do you think that's been?
I think we're such an emotional group, and maybe sometimes we ride the high too high and the low too low. But I think these big wins come late in the year are taking emotional toll, and I think answering the next night is always tough right away. But we've been able to crawl our way out of out of being down in games all kind of year, and I think that's just the character that we have in our room, and we kind of believe no matter what the scoreline is that we're coming back and going to win the game.
Coops, we had a pretty decent season last year. Obviously, the playoffs didn't end the way we wanted it to. You go away, you recharge the batteries over the summer, make a decision to come back. You've gone through the last 6 or 7 months, and it's hard. It's been hard. You talk about being mentally and physically tired, and the boys, a lot of beat up bodies. 3 or 4 weeks here. And what an opportunity this team has.
Yeah, we're right back where we wanted to be, in contention for all three trophies. We've already won the one, but in contention for all three, that's a major reason why I did come back, to get that treble. I think we've obviously put us in a great spot in the league, and then hopefully we can ride the momentum we've kind of had been going since after Christmas, let's say, and then just roll right through the playoffs weekend and playoffs, and hopefully get that third trophy that's kind of been evading us in the Giants.
Coop, Simon Kitchen here. just want to, 8 goals in the last 7 games for yourself, 4 in the last 4. We always talk about the top line getting the goals, but it's really important that we get secondary scoring, we get scoring from the back end as well. And that's been the way it's been, especially over the last 5, 6, 7 weeks. Everybody chipping in and coming into this week. I know we're talking about last week and the Cardiff games, but Sheffield and Manchester, and we take one game at a time. But this big game this game on Friday night is absolutely huge against Sheffield.
Yeah. You could tell today we were all in the rink this morning, and there's a little bit of a buzz. Kiefer gave us an update on the standings and where we stand. I think everyone's been in table watching, and We're extremely excited for the opportunity, and we have three games at home. And I think if we win all three in a row, we can close out at home, which would be incredible for our fans. So everyone knows the magnitude of these games, and I think everyone's really excited and can't wait to see what the building brings to us on Friday night.
I was standing at the side of the ice this morning waiting for you to come out for the crossbar challenge, but you didn't appear. What's the story?
We had a recovery day, so I had to mentally reset. No, I can't handle you hitting the crossbar every time and me missing, so I needed a refocus day.
Paddy?
So that actually links into one of the questions that's come in from Alan Brett on Twitter. So he's always wondered, you're always the last off the ice during warm-ups, and before you go, your routine of wristing a few pucks into an empty net from the blue line. Are you trying to hit the crossbar or just score?
Yeah, I saw that question. Well, it kind of depends. Sometimes if I haven't been happy with the way I've been shooting it in warm-up, I'll just rip a few as hard as I can from kind of there just to let off some steam. But kind of just the way I feel, sometimes I'll ask Jude or anyone on the bench whether they want me to hit the crossbar or try and get it on top of the net. But ultimately, I'm just practicing to beat Kitchy in our little crossbar challenge we got going on.
It's understandable.
I'm still two up.
One from Adam Beck saying, over the past two seasons, you've built a great partnership with Ben Lake. Why do you think the two of you are best for each other?
I think Laker's just easy to play with. He competes and works so hard. I know like last year he was on the wing, and this year he's kind of taking the role up the middle, but he just competes really hard. And I think we kind of complement each other's game, where we know kind of when things are rolling for us and we can be a little more creative, or if things aren't going, we can kind of play that grind game. We play a few different roles, and I think just older professionals just figuring out each other. And it's an absolute pleasure to play with him. He competes his ass off, and that's all you can ask for. And it's easy to play with a guy like that.
There was a comment we had earlier on in the analysis about Ben Lake and the fact that, you know, the games he missed there was the first games he's missed all season. And it just to have that longevity through a season, have that ability to play up in so many games and still perform at such a high level, just shows the quality player that he is.
Yeah, he brings it every day in practice and games. So he holds everyone to a high standard, whether it be vocally or with his work ethic and play. So yeah, we definitely missed him this weekend. He's good on faceoffs, which Cardiff's a real good faceoff team, and just in general on the power play and penalty kill as well. So we definitely missed him, but hopefully he'll be back next weekend and he'll make some noise in our lineup again, I'm sure.
You talk about obviously Laker, but through our lineup this year, you know, when we're looking at October, November time, when we're struggling, I think it's fair to say we're struggling finding a bit of consistency, and also, you know, picked up a lot of injuries as well. But you know, you'd filter between the top line and obviously moved back down with Ari stepping up, and Ari's done really, really well since he went back up there. But it is about it's not just a one line team. It is, we need scoring from other areas of the group itself, and we've got some really talented players this year.
Yeah, I think our depth, and then that the line with Donnie McLeod and Cooper. They're obviously all new guys, and they've come in and been a huge presence, and I think that's helped with our depth. And then Laker and I kind of know how the secondary scoring works from last year, with all those guys putting up 100 points and such, and they're doing it again this year. So I think if we can just help those guys take a bit of pressure off that first line by scoring a goal or two from the second and third line, I think it just lets them play more free and less pressure on themselves. And you know, they're going to have one or two every night, just the way Conway, Ari and Goodwin have been playing.
Just one last thing for me, Coops, is Jude. You know, about the locker room before he was there on Saturday morning. He's been away skiing for a week. And, you know, he's the whole group have just got such a good rapport with the kid. Obviously, you know, Taft's taken him under his wing, especially towards the end of last year, but this year is even more so. And it's great to have the wee man about the room.
Yeah, no, we're always thrilled when Jude's around. He was away for a ski trip, and then I think he had matches, so we hadn't seen him for 6 weeks, and then he decided to have a lay-in and come late his first day back, so we all gave him a little bit of a hard time, but no, he does a tremendous job helping the boys out and just lightening the mood in the room. He's just a great kid, and I've actually gotten to see him play a few times. He's a good hockey player as well, so maybe he'll be a Giant in the future.
Coops, just the close out for me. You talked there about being the veteran presence in the team. You're 30 years old. I guess you're really young.
Do I look 30?
No, you don't. Okay. And you've got so many more years left in you. But if you look back on your career and you go through the grind of the ECHL and trying to get those call ups to the AHL and going back down, what's it been like to come to Belfast for these 2 years? Has it been a high point in the career?
100%. This atmosphere that they've built here, and Kiefer and Thortz have recruited, is more like a university feel. Like, I know last year there was like zero roster changes, but even this year, like, tight knit. You're not worried about going up and down, and everyone's very unselfish here. Unlike some teams, and people have to worry about themselves in North America.
Yeah.
This has definitely been my favorite place to play in professional, and I'd recommend it to anyone. Just with the support from the fans and everyone, it's been incredible, and it's been a dream come true. When I signed here, Kyle Bond kind of laid it out and said, "You're gonna have the best time of your life," and he didn't sell that short at all. It's been incredible.
Excellent. See you in August, Dan.
You would do that one. You would have pulled that one again, Davey. See you in August.
I'll put that out every week. We're just here. Sign here.
Worked Coops. Last time.
Yeah.
Worked last time.
Listen, we'll sort your contract out, says what we.
Absolutely, 100%.
No problem.
Coops, listen, we really appreciate you coming on, and I'm not kidding. Like the positive vibes we get from you being on the ice and from the fans, you're well loved within this organization and amongst the fan base. So keep doing what you're doing, and hopefully we'll get what we deserve come the end of the season.
Yeah, just we got to keep rolling, and it's we'll keep this keep the ball rolling, and we'll see what happens. But it's looking good so far. It's been a lot of fun.
You got to give a quick wave to Randy there before you go. Now you're on camera. Yeah, you got to say hi to the folks.
I'm sure he's tuned in. I told him I was coming on.
Fantastic.
I'm gonna bring my own stick in the morning, by the way.
Oh, no excuses.
I'm not the one who gives the excuses. You're on the ice for like 40 minutes beforehand, warmed up, and then I just snap on and hit the crossbar.
I'm not trying to hit the crossbar during practice, though.
Correct.
You're not trying to hit the crossbar during practice?
Yeah,
be all right if you hit the net. Maybe you should. Yeah, exactly. If you hit the net, you'd be doing all right.
Come on now, behave.
Coops, thanks for your time, mate, and good luck this weekend. Coops.
Have a good one.
See you in the morning.
See ya.
Big thanks to Mark Cooper for his time. It was fantastic. And we're going to rattle straight ahead because we got another man waiting in the wings, and we thank him for waiting. We're running late. We thank him for waiting so long. He's the only head coach, I think, this season with 100% win record at the SSE Arena. Please welcome the head coach of the Manchester Storm, Matt Ginn. I've put the scuppers on it there.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Is that the interview over?
Is that
cut it right there. 100%.
Matt, you've come off the back of a great weekend. Obviously, you know, you did win at home against the Five Flyers, but then a shellacking in Nottingham, where you've done over the Nottingham Panthers. What's the key this season? You know, what's the key to you guys playing so well?
Well, I think this year we kind of saw we had to retool. We went a lot younger. We brought in guys, and kind of Finner and I, our choice was kind of bring in young guys and give them an opportunity to succeed. And I think this year, it, for the most part, it's worked out. You know what? Even, and I think it shows now where we're in some pretty big injury trouble here, and we're just finding ways to win. Whereas, like these younger guys, myself included, in the coaching spot, are it's a different beast. And the like a lot of these guys, it's their first taste of pro hockey, and they're kind of figuring it out. And now I think we're kind of playing for a purpose. Like, I think going into the year, we're kind of seen as some underdogs, and you use that to fuel you a little bit. And we're playing some pretty good hockey here. Guys are bought in, and they're working for each other, and we're excited for the playoffs.
The game in Altrium the other week against the Belfast Giants, obviously that game wasn't going your way, but what I will say is once the announcement came through that the Manchester Storm had qualified for the quarterfinals of the playoffs, there was a marked change in the atmosphere in the building that went very, very positive. You know, that is great for the organization and great for you as a rookie coach to bring the team into that level.
Yeah, absolutely. The fans have been great all year. You know how the Storm shelter is when it's packed, and it can be quite a place. And no, the fans have been behind us all year. There's obviously been some ups and downs, but a big goal of ours this year is just to make the playoffs. And we brought in guys who we just want to be playing our best hockey come this time of the year. And we have guys going and bought in. And like you said, the fans are behind us. You guys were taking it to us pretty good there. I think it was 4-0 in the second. And then after that announcement, I think it ended 4-1. So, but guys, like, we play for each other here, and it's a team where kind of a little bit like you guys, it's team success is bigger than player success here. And it's a great group of guys working with.
Matt, how much do you look at the table now? I suppose you're either going to be sixth or seventh, second and third. So it doesn't really matter what you do, what happens at the top of the table. You're going to get just really whoever you get. Is the next couple of weeks about trying to build a little momentum? Is it about getting guys rested and fit? Is it maybe about sitting some guys to give them the ability to recharge? Or is it just like, what's the thought process for the next 2 weekends looking towards the playoffs?
No, good question. No, we want to be playing our best hockey this time of year. We want to be rolling. I mean, we've had some, I think we were on a 5 or 6 game winning streak there earlier and then dropped a couple. And we just want to find that consistency in our game. I mean, it's cliche. Every team says that, but we want to find that consistency. And obviously right now we're in some injury trouble. So we want to find the lineup that gives us the best chance to succeed. We might have some guys back here soon. Hopefully, but it's tough to get in our lineup right now, to be completely honest with you. If we have everyone healthy, there's 2 extra imports, and management this year did a great job where maybe in the past we wouldn't have had that luxury to fill in the injured guys. And it's just about finding that consistency in our game and finding the lines that match. And we want to finish as high up as we can right now.
Matt, you talk about obviously wanting to finish high up as possible, and when you look through the consistency side of things this season for you, you've beat everybody in the league this year. I mean, you're capable of beating Guildford, you've beat us twice in Belfast, you beat Sheffield a few weeks ago, you're away in Cardiff and beat them 2-1 2 weeks ago. You've got a group there that can certainly win, and you know, let me tell you, you talk about, you know, we're just looking at our private chat there, and it's Laker playing this weekend. You know, I think you're capable, more capable coming into any barn in the EIHL and winning. But is there a team that you think you suit up best against if you did have a chance to basically line yourselves up for the playoffs?
I can't answer that. Yes, can't answer that. No, we just want to finish up as high as we can and see where it lands. I mean, we know we're going to play one of the top 4 teams, and they're all great teams. Like, you can't really sugarcoat it here. We've had some success against everybody, and for us here, we're just kind of trying to hone in our game. We know we're going to play a great team, and they're going to bring their best, but they have to come to the Storm shelter one of the 2 games.
you know, you're a former goalkeeper yourself, and mid-season, you know, Levine was moved on and you brought in Jeremy Brodeur. And Brodeur, let's say, in his first game against the Belfast Giants, it didn't start too well. I think he was scored on his first shot, but since then he's settled right into the role, and you know, he's been doing really well.
Yeah, I think if you had to pinpoint kind of where the season turned around, it was bringing him in. We were scoring goals early too. Because it really, you look, and when after we brought Brodeur in, we lost our two top leading scorers, which I don't care what team you are, that hurts. And now we're finding ways to win those games 2-1, 3-2. And a lot of that is Brodeur. The guys have a lot of credit with him, or a lot of confidence, sorry, in him. And he makes those saves that you expect, and then he also makes the timely ones too. He's been awesome. Can't really see, and just even his demeanor, he's very very cool. There's nothing that really bothers him, and I think a little bit like Bescuani there, where it kind of spreads through the team, that calmness, and the guys trust him, and we do as coaches as well.
And of course, he comes from great stock. His dad was in the building for that game against the Belfast Giants just the other week, and more than happy to have photographs taken, handshake from a man who's an absolute legend of the game.
Yeah, I mean, pretty good goalie family there. I actually didn't get a chance to meet him, but
I heard,
Marty was awesome. No, I was busy coaching. I think I was yelling at you guys, yelling at the refs. Who knows? But no, Jeremy's been awesome. I can't say enough about him. I think, like I said, if you point out a kind of turning point in our season, is we brought him in, and he really shored up the back end for us. Early in the year, we were losing those games kind of 6-4, 6-5, whatever it was. We were scoring goals, but in any league, you have to win those games 2-1, 3-1, 3-2, and be comfortable with your goaltending. And that's not to take away anything from the guys we had before, too. I think we've tightened up our team defense, too, but the guys definitely have confidence in Jeremy back there.
Matt, I want to take you back sort of a couple of seasons. I want you to put your goalie helmet back on for this next question. You'll have seen the overtime call in Belfast at the weekend there that came up. Just to get a goalie's perspective on it, the goal's gone, the points have been divvied out, so it's really irrelevant as to the outcome of the game anymore. But you're in nets there, Waller's coming down on you, you clearly get that puck. Are you smashing your stick over the post at the end of the game?
As a goalie, absolutely. I see both sides. You know what? He's coming in like, yeah, he's making a move. But the goalie, I think you have a little bit of like leeway in your crease to try and make the save. Yeah, here it is. I'll look at it again. I think, yeah, if I'm Besko, I'm mad about the call. If I'm DuPont, like, I think it's a trip. I mean, it goes, I don't know, goes, I'm going to sit directly on the fence right there. My goal, if it's my team, I'm pissed off. I'm slamming the door as well. And if it's not my team, I think it's.
I think that's one of the chats to have. Like, Besko clearly wins the puck. I'm not 100% sure on what the call then is. If the player continues and trips over the stick, I'm not sure what the call is, but if the call isn't made and the Giants break up the ice and score, then as you say, Brody Point's taking the door off the hinges, you know, as it went against the Belfast Giants on this occasion.
Kiefer and I went out for a beer last weekend. I hate to say it. I think it's the right call.
Oh, interesting.
If I have to pick sides, I think it's the right call.
Can you delete? How do you get him off here? Yeah, Patty? Yeah, him.
I get it. Like I completely understand. I would be completely torn too. I don't know.
So just to educate us then, Matt. Just to educate, the goalie getting the puck isn't necessarily the be all and end all.
I don't know. I don't know the official rule book on it. I don't think so. Like his sticks out, he hits the puck, but it's still, I don't know. I think about it as a player's perspective. If a guy, you whack the puck and still get him, that's what I'm thinking about. Right.
So let's say in a breakaway situation, which isn't exactly the same, but there's a player, there's a breakaway, there's a one-on-one, and the D-man comes around and D-man wins the puck and trips the player. That's not a penalty shot.
Yeah, I think it depends on who's reffing, but...
It depends on who's reffing. Now we've got to the real answer.
Who's reffing, who's coaching, I don't know. I can't... Yeah. You guys are setting me up here.
Thanks for coming on. How would you reflect on this season for you as a coach?
It's been good. Obviously, been a bit of a learning experience. There's been some ups and downs, but I think you look around the league and that's every team. Going into this year, talking with Finner, I've been lucky enough to have him around and helping out. And our goal is to make the playoffs. Obviously, last year we didn't. And this year, clinching a spot with kind of 3 weeks to go was might not seem like a big thing. But for us, that was kind of step one on the on the pedestal here. And obviously, we're not done from there. But we like I said earlier, recruited a team, a young team, and give guys a chance to kind of grow in this league. And we have kind of identified our core that we want back. And I think overall right now, up to this point, it's been a success. But for us, like we're not done yet. I don't think we're satisfied with where we are. We want to finish as high as we can. And then, like you said, we're going to the playoffs. We know we're going to play one of the top four teams, and they're all, you know, they're all great teams. You can't really sugarcoat it here. They all bring something different. And, but we're confident in our group here, and we just want to like go as far as we can here.
Great attitude. So before we let you go, I think you play Friday night and then the game is against the Belfast Giants on Saturday. How preparation's going for this weekend?
Yeah, no, like I said earlier, we're pretty beat up here, so I gave the guys a couple days rest, and we'll kind of dial it up again tomorrow and then Thursday and have a good couple days. But Coventry is kind of a team that's given us trouble all year. You know, I think Danny does a great job there. They're kind of a well-drilled machine where they work really hard, they defend hard, and that's a big game for us. And we're battling for that sixth spot. We want to finish as high as we can. And we just want to keep playing as well as we can. We don't really want to take a step back here. It's just about getting better and better. And I know it's cliche and coach talk all you will here, but we just want to peak come playoff time here. Get some bodies back in the lineup, be healthy. And we, like you said, we played two great teams this weekend, just kind of take it a game at a time and see what happens.
Yeah, we wish you well against Coventry, not so much against us, but we hope you do get those, you know, go for as far as you can in the playoffs. And it is great, you know, for you as coming in as that coach and for the organization that you're able to do that. Thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. Thanks, coach.
Big thanks to Matt Ginn. Love having him on. Really, really
good. Really good guy.
He's done very well. Done very well, you know, coming in and changing, bringing in the young guys, as he said, in the organization, and getting them into that playoff spot. And you know, more part of his elbow, you know, and I say don't wish him well on Saturday, but I do hope that do hope for him and for the Manchester Storm they get as far as they possibly can, and if they face us in the final, then you know, hope they lose that. On that, right, let's have we have some interviews. Simon popped down to training and had a chat with Adam Keefe, Kel Beattie, Mark Garside, but first, Kieran Long.
Right, get it out of the way, but first of all, go.
Why have you got your hair cut from someone else other than me?
I know, mate. It's not good.
Scumbag.
Right, weekend, 3 points from four. You know, obviously the target was to get the two wins, but happy with the three points?
After the first period on Sunday, yeah, happy with the 3 points. I mean, we put ourselves in a hole on the Sunday game, right from the off. Cardiff obviously came out, played really well, put us under pressure, got themselves a 3-1 lead, was it? And we were climbing an uphill battle from there. But to get the extra point was huge.
Obviously losing Roche and Gabe Bass during the first opening 26, 27 minutes. Pretty bit of pressure on your minutes were up. I'm sure you weren't complaining about that part.
Yeah, no, you know, I've all season long, and last season as well was the same. If anyone goes down at the back end, I'm happy enough to jump back there and give them a hand, and you know, sometimes it works out, and I was enjoying it back there in the game too, so you know, I'm happy to do anything as long as we can win this league title.
Prefer forward or defense? Because you're getting older.
Yeah, I am getting older. I'm getting older. I spoke to Keith not long ago. At the moment I still do prefer playing forward, but as I said, anything for the win. And you know, in the later stages of my career, I would look to go full-time D-man.
Two big games this weekend, Sheffield coming down on Friday, and then your old club Manchester. Two really important games, but I'll focus on Friday.
Yeah, definitely. We just spoke about it there. We can't look any further than Sheffield. Sheffield are going to come in and want to get revenge on us after the last time we were in Sheffield. So we're going to have to bring our best, expect their best, and try and get the job done.
Kieran Long from the SSE Arena in Belfast. Gary, two big games at the past weekend. You knew it was going to be tough against the Cardiff Devils. And I've asked a couple of boys this. Would you have took 3 points on Friday morning if it was offered to you?
I think so. I think like Cardiff have a good team. You look at their top line of players, is, you know, putting up really good numbers, phenomenal players. So 3 points out of four, knowing that we're ahead as it is already, I think with a bigger handoff, especially after that first period on Sunday where we weren't playing well, basically. You know, we had to find a bit of character and have a bit of bite back in the second and the third period.
You've been in this position quite a few times now as a Giant. What's the advice you're giving to your teammates, given the game on Saturday, Friday, sorry, against Sheffield?
I think mentally, you know, it's just pressure time, and just enjoy the pressure. This is why we played the whole season. You know, we've been consistent, especially since sort of December time. You know, we really went on a run there, and I think just keep up that consistency. Keep on that train where we're feeling confident. You know, we've got a lot of guys scoring, we've got a lot of secondary scoring as well. So just be confident about what we can do, and be ready to come in and play the sort of playoff mentality that these guys would have played, and a lot of them in North America.
You played a lot of minutes on Sunday.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
Old. No, I'm feeling all right. Obviously, we went down with a few injuries there, and it just meant, you know, we've just got to chip in and do what we do. I just got out there and tried to do what I can and do best, you know, keep the puck moving and close them. Take time and space away from the offensive players.
Sheffield Friday, all the focus, it's all about the Steelers coming into town. Everybody's going to be ready?
Of course. I mean, we know how good Sheffield are. We've just looked at the kind of league stats and things, and they're basically second in every category. They've got a very talented team going forward, and they're very good defensively too. So we know we have to play our best to beat them.
Thanks, Gary. Kel, it's been another successful season so far for you, right on cue, Max hitting the pucks, but picking up another trophy, actually two trophies, 2 weeks ago with the Solway Sharks, and in the Marley Cup and the NIHL North League, with two ex-teammates of mine, Spud Grubbin and Big Jamie Thompson. You must be in good form.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great to win another two trophies this year, and hopefully a few more to come with the Giants and Solway themselves. But just a great feel around the dressing room, and just again, hopefully many more to come this season.
It's helped your development, obviously, getting the minutes over in Solway, and when you come back to Belfast, you played a few minutes on Saturday.
Yeah.
Sunday was a difficult game, obviously.
Yeah.
But getting the experience on the bench, what's that mean to you?
No, it means an absolute everything to me, just getting the experience with all the boys who've played pro for don't know how many years now, and just even hearing what they're talking about on the bench and the next sort of plays they're doing, it means everything. So like, just getting the help that I need off them is just what I need to get through.
What's your plans this weekend? Are you Solway, or are you a bit chance?
I'm not too sure yet. I haven't really found out. I usually find out towards the end of the week, so hopefully just wait and see what to come.
Oh man, thanks Kel. Adam, a couple of days rest after a busy weekend, a tough weekend, picking up the 3 points, and I'm sure you're, after that dust to settle, I'm sure you're glad with 3 points, especially the point on Sunday being 3-1 down, and losing a couple of bodies as well. What's your thoughts on the overall for the weekend?
Yeah, I thought, I mean, looking in hindsight, looking back, it was a good weekend. You know, that's a very good Cardiff team. Came very hard at us both nights. Obviously, the second night, we didn't really start on time, and that cost us a point, you know. So that was frustrating, but it was a great character comeback to get that one point, and that one point could be massive down the stretch here. So that was very important.
Four games to go. You've been in this position before. I've just had a chat with Mark Garcia about it, and it's about that experience and obviously passing that experience on to the group in the room.
Yeah, I think you know, the guys that were here last year have been here, and guys have been in this league in the past. But I think you know, even the new guys here, you know, they want this. You know, they're hungry. You can see that in their play, their performances. So, you know, we just need to focus on Friday. You know, trying to get the job done versus Sheffield, and then we'll move on. It is a one game at a time mentality. And right now it's about getting rest and recovered and making sure that our energy levels are high come Friday.
You've already talked about Sheffield being on Friday afternoon for the game on Friday night. You beat them comprehensively it'll be 2 weeks ago. And they'll be coming in with an attitude that, you know, they need to get these points because they're still in with a shout.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every team is going to play right to the end regardless of the league title race. You see that throughout. There's a bunch of storylines throughout the whole league right now. But also, you know, we know that we're going to see a good Sheffield team that wants to come in here and disrupt our plans as well. We have to be prepared for that.
Thanks, Adam.
Big thanks to the guys, and also great to see Kel Beattie get in there as well. Davey, the kid's fantastic.
Says it's on the phone to Cooper's agent there, yeah, I see. But talking about Kel, absolutely fun, brilliant interview. Jordy and Julie will be so proud of the way he conducts himself. Trophies he's won this season with Solway, last season with Solway, Belfast this season. He's on a nice trajectory there. Just needs to keep himself nice and grounded, which he absolutely will. Lovely chap, lovely family. Can't say enough good things about the boy.
We've said this a few times.
Young man.
Young man, says we said this a few times about the likes of Mac and Kel and the way they get on. You see, like from your interview with Kel, you know he does have his feet solidly grounded, and he's picking up the medals.
He's a good kid. I see what they put in every day. Him and Mac are first on the ice every morning. They're the last off for a reason because they've got to pick the pucks up. It's those little things that they need to learn. It's like the old boot rooms you used to have in the football teams. You know, as soon as you finish your practice away, you're training, go and get the veterans' boots cleaned. But it's not as bad as that in the locker room anymore because Taff does all that for them. But, seeing them around the locker room, you know, you can see the kids getting better. Mac as well, you know, talking about both of them as a duos. But, they've both really upped their game this year. It's great to see them doing what they're doing during the season, but it's what happens after the season. So this is where take a few weeks off and then bust your balls to get ready for next season. This is a really crucial year for them cut off the ice. They need to really, you know, it's difficult to bulk up and there's, you know, they just need to build more muscle within their bodies and their mindsets they can't blame either of them. Their mindsets is really good. But this year, this summer for them both is really important because they just need to make that next step up. And really, again, if they're playing week in, week out, whether it's in Solway or Milton Keynes, and they come to Belfast when they're, you know, another season of doing what they can, you know, chip in when we need them. This is a development, and it's definitely a fantastic opportunity for them. Tim Wallace is doing a great job with Mac and Milton Keynes, and then Spud Grubb and Jamie Thompson are doing really, really well with Kel and Solway. So great to see kids getting the opportunity. And I think the best of both of them as well.
Especially local lads like that. So yes, well done to them. Right, if you were in the arena this weekend, you'd seen that it is a British Sign Language Week. And there was a fantastic video put out regards to the Belfast Giants and the accessibility of sign language within the arena and what the organisation are doing involving David Goodwin and Josh Roach. We're going to play that for you because I think it's well worth playing once more.
Holly, I'd like to welcome you to the SSC. My name is David Goodwin. This is Josh Roach. And we're here to learn a little bit more about BSL, given it is BSL week. Could you tell us what the motto or the theme of BSL week is this year?
Yeah, This year's theme is protecting BSL. And it's important so that we can ensure the language continues to thrive rather than diminish or risk being lost. Marking Sign Language Week each year is important to celebrate our language and to make sure that people all over the UK learn about and recognise BSL.
What would you say are the most important things that we can learn about BSL, or what the main takeaways of BSL Week here in the UK?
It's really important to know and recognise that there are two sign languages, British Sign Language and Irish Sign Language.
What are some of the main differences between BSL and ISL?
Okay, so British Sign Language uses two hands, whereas Irish Sign Language uses a one-handed alphabet. That's actually a similar feature in sign language used in America and Canada, where you're from. American Sign Language, ASL, uses a one-handed alphabet, whereas British Sign Language uses both hands. That's a big difference between the languages.
So for the folks that have been to a Belfast Giants match, they've probably seen you, Holly, on the Jumbotron, specifically with the message about keeping eyes on flying pucks. For members of the BSL community that come to Belfast Giants matches, what's important for them to know about coming to our matches?
Yeah, that's a really good thing. I'm really impressed by the Giants' commitment to increase accessibility for their fans and for everyone. I was so excited when I was asked to get involved in making BSL content for game night, because I know some of my friends, members of the deaf community, are massive, long-standing Giants fans.
Would you be able to teach us a few words or names in sign language? And maybe we can start with that.
Yeah, okay. Are you guys ready to learn some sign language?
Yes.
J O S H. Josh.
O Josh.
Perfect. D A V I D.
My name is D A A V I D. David.
Perfect.
Would you be able to teach us how to sign Let's Go Giants?
Okay. Let's go Giants. Let's go Giants.
Holly, I'd just like to conclude by saying thank you very much for coming here and teaching Josh and I and all of our fans a little bit more about BSL. Thank you.
Thank you.
What I found fabulous about that video, it's just another example, Simon, of the community aspect of the organization and the fact that they dig in this and make sure that this game, our team, this arena, it's accessible for all. And that's just another example of that.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. You know, it's I know the boys love that. You know, Goody and Josh, they both really enjoyed doing the speaking with Holly, and we had when you watch the screens at the start of each game at the arena, I know you guys don't get them any often, but on the screens itself, when Dave McCammon's talking through different things, there's sign language going on the screens as well, and it's fantastic, yeah. Because it is, you know, you just don't realize how many people that, you know, need that to help them basically understand the game as well as everyday language. And it's probably a wee bit, I mean, we were actually talking about this in the office the other day. Lisa McNally, who looks after a lot of that accessibility side of things for the ops team at the arena, and Laura were sitting chatting, might have been yesterday, about it. And, you know, it's really important that, and it's one thing that I've talked with Jasmine about. Jasmine's been teaching me how to sign my name. She knows how to do sign language a little bit, and I think that everybody should be sure learning a little bit. We always talk about learning. I would like to learn Portuguese because I spend, you know, 3-4 times a year over in Portugal. I think it'd be a lot more important to learn sign language now than what would be for Portuguese. So, you know, it's brilliant that we do this, and it's not just the only thing we do. We try and do everybody because, again, the land of the chance, everyone's equal. But, I thought it was brilliant. I thought the video was magic. As soon as Neil put it on, we sort of get to watch all this stuff before the fans come into the building.
Yeah.
So we do like a dry run of what's happening. And when, because I knew they were doing it, but I didn't know it was going to be ready for this weekend. I didn't realize it was a BSL week this week. So, again, that's me being ignorant. It's fantastic. Loved it.
Davey, just to, like, you know, I'll just bring in just quickly for a comment, is the fact that the Giants do this sort of aspect very, very well.
Yeah, take the Giants out of it completely. Just to back something Sid said, Ruby and Lily, I'm really lucky to go to a good school, and in the last lot of years, they've done Italian lessons, French, German, Spanish, Russian, Latin, and they have just almost glossed over sign language. I think kids should do sign language as a subject in school.
I agree.
I would wholeheartedly, and I think it's great that our club is, and I'm sure there's other clubs around the league. I'm not digging any other clubs out. They may do accessibility stuff. I think it's great to be in the public domain saying, I'm DAVID, I'm the captain of the Belfast Giants, let's go Giants and all this. I think it's absolutely incredible. S-I-M-O. And can you do yours, Paddy? Because I can do DAVID.
No, I can't. That's a real thing.
Well, that's your challenge for next Tuesday, mate.
It is.
Yours would be pretty easy, Paddy. So there's your P. And then you've got A.
A.
D.
D.
D. Yeah, and then Y.
No A in Paddy, mate.
There you go. I see the...
those days are gone, mate. Those days are gone. It doesn't do that anymore.
I'll have to... I've got a very good friend who's relatively fluent in sign language, and she's always, you know, because of family members who are need it, and she's always banging on about how it's so important. It's so important, especially from, just like you say, you can learn every language under the sun, but this is one that is around us every day. There are people who use this every single day, right here, and so that was a great piece from the Belfast Giants, and well done to them.
Right, Paddy, just one other thing. I mean, again, we talk about the sign language in the arena. I know that we do have a couple of people who have eyesight and blindness, and they still listen to the commentary in the arena during the game. So I'd like to apologize to all them having to listen to me every night. It's one of those ones where
taking the earphones out every goal.
It is. No, and to be honest, it's sort of humbling that I mean obviously I get the chance to do it every week, and it's all good crack, and yes, I get excited every once in a while, that's fine, but you just forget that there's people sort of depending on you now in the arena to do it. And when you, sometimes you go off on a bit of a rant like we do here on the podcast as well, but you sort of keep it in your head. Now, and it was Lisa that looks after all that stuff. And again, it's just brilliant. The SSE arena, what we do now, I mean, obviously over the years it was the Giants, but it's when you get to see behind the scenes every day and you see the togetherness of every aspect of the organization now. You know, the ops team are all walking about with their Giants logo jerseys on during the games. The Zamboni men have all got theirs, the electricians. Everybody has basically got all the food and beverage guys as well. So it's fantastic that we've got the support of everybody within the arena, and everybody's pulling their strings. And you know what? It probably goes unnoticed that, you know, well, it goes unnoticed by some. It doesn't go unnoticed by a lot of us. You know, the likes of, even the likes of the food that we supply after the game, Big Chef Paul and his team have done a lot of food for us this year as well. We got food from ZZ on Saturday night, which was great. We've had food from the spa out the back. And it's all those little things that go in to putting those little 1% onto the Belfast game. And you hear Adam and Steve talking about it every single year.
Yeah, and it plays out in the fact that you've got people like Mark Cooper coming on saying it's one of the best atmospheres, one of the best organizations he's ever played for in his career, and it's a fantastic from the Giants, and it is BSL week, and if you want to have a look into that, then you can have a look online and find out more about British Sign Language. Right, let's butt our head, gentlemen, start to wrap things up with a little bit of news. I say a little bit of news. Let's just quickly look at the league table first of all. The Belfast Belfast Giants are at top of the league table, 50 games played, 78 points. Guildford are behind us. They've got 5 games to play, one more than us, and they're 4 points back. Sheffield, 50 games played, 73 points. Cardiff, 50 games played, 71 points. I think that if the Giants score one more point, that will eliminate Cardiff from the title running. Coventry, 66 from 50. Manchester, 46 from 50. Nottingham down in 7th. They've had a terrible time of it. 42 from 40. It's an awful thing. It's an awful thing for them. 42 points from 49 games. And that battle's still going on for that 8th spot. Clan have 2 more games to play. They've got 35 points. Fife have 3 more games to play. They have 33 points back. That is going to go down to the wire. There's many permutations going on here with regards to the Belfast Giants and the Guildford Flames and Sheffield Steelers as to you know what can happen this week, what can happen next week. Ultimately, Davey, win the games.
Win the games and we won't be caught. That's it. That's as much as it amounts
it's
to.
It's in our hands.
But let's not worry about games 52, 3 and 4. Game 51 is the biggest game that we're going to play this week. And let's just all concentrate on that and you know we'll see where it takes us. We put a number on it many, many months ago. Me and Sid, what we thought and told you as well, how many points I thought we'd win the league and how many it would take to overhaul the Belfast Giants. So I'll stick with that and we'll bring out Eileen in a couple of weeks and go.
I know what you said. I think it's one more than that. I think it's 1 point more than that is what we need. But yes, you know, and then you look at the Cardiff Coventry there as well. You know, there's a battle going on here just for placings, really. But I think more or less Coventry are more or less settled where they are. Storm and Nottingham. I think Nottingham are going to finish.
They play each other a couple of times, I think.
They do. That is true. That is true.
Yeah.
But then you take that 5-1 win for the Manchester Storm at over in Nottingham on Sunday. I think Manchester.
It's a funny thing. Like I've obviously got no love for the Nottingham Panthers, and I'm absolutely. I said last week about it being brilliant that we should ride the high while we're on it and we're up at the top of the league, and we should absolutely rip them apart whenever they're down there because nothing lasts forever. This is a bad season for them. I seen somebody saying the other day, lowest points ever, lowest wins ever, lowest crowds ever. Most tears in gallons ever. many, 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 many things that are going on there. They seem to have checked out.
Is crowds wise true? Because I know we had our good friend Neil, the coach Russell, telling us that was that from a organizational structure and people through the door that they were doing well. But yeah, sorry, I interrupted you.
Don't know, in his consultancy role the Nottingham Panthers, maybe he knows better. But the numbers don't lie. The 42 points after 49 games, that's a disaster for them. What happens with them in the playoffs? I don't know if Corey Nielsen can turn a switch to make that into a playoff team. You look at the Cardiff Devils, who are going to be probably end up around where they are now. They're going to go deep in the playoff. Good goaltending, good defense, strong forwards. We've talked about it. Nottingham Panthers, I just don't see how they can come from where they are to put any kind of playoff run together. I may be wrong. We could be talking about it in a month with egg in my face, but I don't think so.
Well, that result against Manchester makes me think exactly the same thing as I thought last week, is that, you know, I know Corey Nielsen came out and gave an interview where he was scathing of the team and, you know, and said, you know, one of the imports, he told them to sit down, he wasn't going to play again and had a right dig into them. And since then, it just hasn't gone well. They lost to the Sheffield Steelers. They lost to the Manchester Storm. It seems that a lot of the guys in that locker room are done. That's how it feels now. Obviously, you know, somebody's going to play this back to me in a couple of weeks' time when Nottingham Panthers are in the playoff semi-finals or whatever. Yeah. But at this moment in time, it feels that that team's done.
Yeah, 13 wins. Sorry, 13 wins in regulation games, 13 regulation wins in 42 games, 49 games is unacceptable. I mean, if Neil Black's sitting in his, whatever he's sitting in New York or whatever he's doing.
Chair.
I'm looking, where?
In his chair.
His chair, yeah, okay. I was going to say big, massive, comfy sofa. But, yeah. You know, if he's sitting there and he's happy with 13, shut up. The 49 games with only 13 regulation wins. That's unacceptable. It really is. And I know they've, you know, you'll hear about, you know, they get rid of their coach and they've got rid of, you know, brought a new guy in. And it's not about, you know, obviously Corey came in to coach a group, which he didn't, you know, obviously recruit. But that's totally irrelevant. These guys are professional hockey players. And for them to end up in that position for the Nottingham Panthers, if that was me, if that was our group, we'd be absolutely disgusted by it, to be very honest. You know, and I'm sure he is too. And listen, we've certainly no love for the Nottingham Panthers. I hope they finish ninth. But I actually don't. I hope they finish 10th. But that's not going to happen this year. But, you know, if any Nottingham Panthers fans happy with the situation right now, then, you know, I think they'd be very much disappointed for sure.
Without rambling on about it, that is not a cheaply assembled team either, and cheaply assembled coach or anything. You know, they've spent money there. They should be. They should not be in seventh place.
I could see, not to get hung up, but I could see Jonesy going back there. I think that, you know, bringing Jones in to do after, you know, he left here, I don't think it's any of it is his fault. And from all accounts, you know, he's made a good impression in Nottingham by listening to some of the fans are saying. So it would be interesting to see what sort of team they put together next season. But this season's an absolute write-off.
If it stays the way it stays, right, and hopefully we do win the league and Guildford finish second, Guildford will wipe them out in the playoffs. Yes. I have absolutely no doubt about that. Sheffield have not had a good season compared to what their budget is and the way, you know, the way the Sheffield Steelers organization looks out of things as well. They're not out of the league. I get that. You know, that's going to be a long shot for them to win the league. But it's still capable. It's still possible. But, you know, the Sheffield Steelers versus Nottingham Panthers in the playoffs, my God, I mean, again, from an EIHL point of view, that could be a disaster. You know, last year the Steelers and the Nottingham Panthers missed out, and numbers of the fans going through the doors last year was obvious, but that, you know, that wasn't anywhere near expected what they thought they were going to get. But you know, from an EIHL league point of view, it's important to have a Steelers or Nottingham or both in the playoff weekend.
Otherwise, it's going to be another sparsely attended. Hopefully not as bad as last year, but no, I agree with that. And Guildford Flames, like you say, they're 49 games, but they will top that up to 50 with the Viaplay game of the week, against the Coventry Blaze on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. If you want to join Murph for that, I think there will be quite a few Belfast Giants eyes on that game, Davey.
Yeah, there'll probably be a few tuning in. I'll not be one of them.
I know you wouldn't be. You'd
pull the I will. I'll be watching it tomorrow night.
No, I'm being facetious there. I probably have a little eye on that game while I'm doing the ironing or something tomorrow night, you know, just
to see what's going on. I think, you know, it's one of those games.
Just to keep an eye on it. We talk about it. We don't look at the league table until January the 1st, and then after that, we get quite engaged with it, and it is a quite exciting couple of weeks coming up here. It's an exciting time to be a fan of any of those teams in the top eight, so... You know, there's lots to play for this season still.
While it's, like I said, while the league title chase is fully in our hands, you know, the idea that, you know, the Guildford Flames, who are currently our closest rival for that, are going up against a Coventry Blaze side who were on a bit of a run, had a bit of a scuppered, but they're hopefully will be resurgent at home against the Guildford Flames and maybe make this title race a little bit easier for us. Let's hope so. Best wishes to Danny Stewart and all those down in the Sky Dome for that game. You can tune in via play Wednesday at 7 p.m. with Murph for the via play game of the week in the Elite League. Coventry Blaze against the Guildford Flames. And then there's our own game. Just briefly, Belfast Giants against Sheffield Steelers, Friday at 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena, and the Belfast Giants against the Manchester Storm, Saturday at 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena. If you can't get down to those games, and I don't know why you wouldn't be able to get down to those games unless you're like myself or Davey, but if you can't get down to those games, Giants TV with Mr. Kitchen. You know, says Davey said it there, this game is the most important game.
Yeah, of course it is. Just they're only focusing on Friday. You know, the Steelers are going to come in there. They got an important weekend over them, and as I say, they're not done yet. They are capable with regards to the points available to win the league. I do think it's a long shot for them, but it is, you know, they'll be trying to get those points up for sure. And we've got to be very, very careful. Yes, we've got our, we always talk about how good all our teams are. And I keep on saying it, we have a really good team as well. So it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. But I know the boys are going to be well prepared for it and they'll be ready to go.
Two big games against the Sheffield Steelers and the Manchester Storms, Friday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena. Any other business, boys?
Yeah, a couple. Davey, do you want to mention your first one with your remate? Birthday?
Number 7. Happy birthday, Mark Garside. Please bring an album out in the next 12 months. I would really appreciate it. But in the meantime, great words on the interview earlier on. Fantastic to imagine. I can kind of place myself in the corner of the locker room as if I'm just spying on things going on. I can imagine Mark Garside getting saying, on a very rare occasion, something people would listen. You know, he commands that respect. He's been around the block. People would be foolish not to listen to him for the experience that he has and the way he spoke in that interview. Common influence, knows what's going on. I'd be listening to Mark Garside as I would if he brought an album out.
Happy birthday, Mark Garside says.
I want to give a big shout out to Dream Apartments, who have put us out of a hole this week with regards apartments. I know I don't usually, you know, mention companies, but it's definitely mentioned. Andrew Donaldson, top man, you've helped my bacon this week, so thanks very much indeed. No, that's me. Thanks to John Donovan for the weekend. Really appreciate his time on Sunday. I thought he was excellent. And I mean, he's a wee bit like Andre Dixon. You know, he was actually quite, I don't know if nervous is the right word, but, you know, he was sitting going, oh, I hope it was okay. I thought he was brilliant. I love doing the games with Dicko, as you know. But, and me, Marty's getting better as well. So it's, we're a good hand. We're all right.
I think, you know, it's great. And I thought Marty did well. I also think that John Donovan was great to listen to. But then, you know, John's an old hat to doing the commentary stuff. He did it in the Big Blue Tent. He's doing, and now it's great to hear him back behind the mic. So yeah, great to hear him. But yeah, is that a chance? Are we wrapped?
I'm done.
All good.
Right. Like I said, game against Sheffield on Friday, game against Manchester on Saturday, both at 7 p.m. at the SSC Arena. We only have 3 home games in the league left, 4 home games in total left. It's going to be a nail-biter of a finish. Get yourself down to the SSC. Get behind the Belfast Giants because, you know, we are going for another league title. Big thanks to Mark Cooper and the Matt Ginn for coming on and joining us. And, also, of course, the Kieran Long, Mark Garside, Kel Beattie and Adam Keefe for the interviews during training. Thanks to that, Sizz. Thanks to you, Davey, for cutting the video. You can get us at AVFTB on Twitter. KingdomOfTheGiants.com. For is the website. Like I said at the start of the show, if you want to vote for the KOTG MVP this year, MVP@KingdomOfTheGiants.com. So you have a few emails pop in the main box as we were going through this show. So yeah, MVP@KingdomOfTheGiants.com. That will remain open till the end of next Friday. But yeah, at AVFTB on Twitter, Facebook, all the usual spots. Davey says, good to see us both. Might see it the weekend, says. Might see it the weekend. The jury's out. I have to wait. My good lady wife is in Portugal at the minute. I have to wait for her to come back on Thursday.
And I see what you did there. So it was okay for her to go away. And then obviously, you know, I might have to go back to Belfast this week.
It's give and take on this. But we got to do it. So I might see you on Saturday. We'll see.
If you want to do comms, bit, let me know. No problem.
Can I do that after 6 pints?
You've done it before?
That is true. Right. Thanks, lads. And thanks to everybody who's been watching live, tuning in, and interacting throughout the show. We really, really do appreciate it. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Podcast Network.